Hear me?
I hear you fine.
You hear me fine? Okay, ready to go. Okay. Two weeks ago, we ended off with a new topic. That topic is known as the topic of the Maggid of the Beis Yosef. So, what happens like this? We were discussing for the past few weeks the Sefer Simchas HaNefesh. The Sefer Simchas HaNefesh brings down, when he talks about all different interesting things that happen to different people, supernatural things that happen to different Gedolim. He talks about Gilui Elio, that people had Elio HaNavi, and people had Ruach HaKodesh, and people had special dreams. So one of the things he lists is that there were certain people that had Magidim that came to visit them. And we're going to, in today's class, I hope to discuss what it is that these Magidim are about. He writes, and this is what he writes, that he says that these Magidim would come to these great people, and they would tell them secrets. Who are these people? He lists two. One is the Beis Yosef, another one is the Baal Megala Amukris. And they would get secrets. Secrets, a simple understanding means Kabbalah, but we'll see more about what they heard from these Magidim shortly. He says, but in our time, he's already a few hundred years after the Beis Yosef, Ein hadavar shchiach. It's not shchiach who matzei b'shir mu'et moed. It happens very infrequently. Kitai rishon lezeh tzarach shiyat tzadik gadol ha'moed. One has to be a great tzadik. L'roiv nizgal shumei ha'klipa. People that do claim that they are having magidim, it's from a klipa. And say, interestingly enough, according to what he is saying, there are people that might have magidim, but those magidim are not real magidim. What does it mean? They're from the klipa. Klipa means they're from evil, in simple words, evil forces. Just to elaborate a little bit about what he said so far. There was, I mentioned already earlier in regard to different contexts that the Ramchal, today we know the Ramchal, the author of one of the most famous Musar Slam, Masos of Sharim, famous Sefer Derech Hashem, and other works that many people use all over the world, and he wrote numerous Kabbalah Slam, but what a lot of people are not aware of is that in his time he was he did not have an easy life. He pretty much was put in cherim. They persecuted him a lot. He didn't have an easy life. And eventually he left Eretz Yisrael. He died young. He had a tragic life. And one of the things that people are not aware of, most people are not aware of, is about what was this controversy about and all the aspects of this controversy. I do not plan today to deal with all the answers of controversy. But there was one thing that I already had mentioned in regard to a different thing was that he claimed that he was having a maggid talk to him and telling him secrets of Kabbalah. He was writing them down. And there were eyewitness accounts to this. Talmidim was that today we know great people. I believe one of them was Rav Moshe Davavali. He has authored numerous works on Tanakh, on Torah Nevi'im, multi volumes, they're still today being printed from manuscript. We're talking over 20 volumes. The original project was started by the great Rav Chaim Freelander from Hebrak. And so there's eyewitness accounts to it, but for whatever reasons, some suggest actually because this is right after the Shabbat State Sea movement, so they were very scared of anyone claiming supernaturals. Things and stuff, got very nervous from him. And basically, the Gedolim at that time wanted to put him in somewhat of a cherim. And it was a whole big, long controversy. For many years, we did not even know the exact details of all the aspects of the controversy until, as I mentioned earlier, a few weeks ago, there was someone was working on the Ramchal for a doctorate in JTS, and he asked the librarian, do you remember if there's anything about, do we have anything in our collection? Because JTS already then was famous, having a very rare collection of manuscripts. Do we have anything about the Ramchal? So the librarian at that time, I believe it was Yitzhak Rifkin, told him, yeah, I think we do, but I never bothered to have a check what it exactly is. And they went and checked and found a stack of letters organized neatly of the whole correspondence between that was going on in this whole controversy. After these letters, then the letters went ahead and they were printed. We discussed that they were printed in different versions recently, but that's not for now. The point was that in these letters, we now have a glimpse of what was going on in the controversy. One of the things we see was that he claimed he had a maggid. They said, nope, it cannot be that you have a maggid. One of the claims was, oh, you're having a maggid, but it's outside of Eretz Yisrael. And outside Eretz Yisrael, it would be that it's some sort of, more of a guarantee that it's a klipa, as the Simchas Nefesh said. Now, the Simchas Nefesh did not mention anything about a klipa. He just said that after the Beis Yosef, Megala Amukis, normally, it's very not shchiach, to have a maggid. But Ramchal claimed that he did. And it was going back and forth, and there's very interesting pieces of information in all these letters, on specifically about this topic. Rabbi Yehuda printed a whole article about the maggid of Beis Yosef. It was included in his book on the Ramchal. And what one comes away with is that the Ramchal said simply it did, and the Beis Yosef also had. And not only that, the Beis Yosef's maggid was outside of Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't only in Eretz Yisrael. And today we could say that that is true because we know from the various dates of the Magen Meisharim, which we're going to discuss the Sefer at length shortly, that the Beis Yosef already was having, the maggid was visiting him for many years even before he came to Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't the only person that had that was outside of Eretz Yisrael. Many of the people that were listed as having a maggid were outside of Eretz Yisrael. However, interestingly enough, there is a Rechaim Volozhiner wrote a famous, very famous introduction to the Sefer de Tzniusa of the Gra. And in this Hagdama, he talks about his Rebbe, and it's quoted all over in all the works on the Gra. Different points of this is quote. One of the things that he talks about over there is that Rechaim Volozhiner is talking about his brother. Now, his brother, we're going to get to a little later on this year tonight. His brother was a tremendous, tremendous person. He died young. He was one of the biggest Talmidim of the Gra. And Rechaim Volozhiner writes at one time that Gra told me to go to my brother and tell him as follows, that he should not accept shum malach magad asher yavei yatzlei. Any magad that's going to come talk to him, don't listen. He was not in loikvar yavei le malach magad. Because it's going to happen. As soon as malach is going to come. Omar, Afki Maran HaBeis Yosef HaYulei Magid, even though the Beis Yosef did have a Magid, Vayzeh Lefnei Beis Meir Shona, this is 200 years ago, She'adayus Ketiknon, Vayshari Alav Mastation, he was in Eretz Yisrael, Loikin Atashe Ribo HaMisparzim, Ubefat B'chutzorets, Yefshe Klal, Shiyu Kulei Kodesh Kadashim, Lishum Irv Klal. Even if there's going to be a Magid, and it's going to be something, it's impossible for it to be completely Kodesh. And this is so the Gra is saying very clearly that the reason why you should tell your brother, Zalman Volozhiner, not to listen to a maggid is because it's outside of Chutzlar, it's outside of Ekstrol, and already 200 years past the Beis Yosef, our generation's not as good. It's automatically going to have, similar to what the Simchas Nefesh are saying, some type of klipas. It's not going to be Kulei Kodesh Kadashim. Nah. Okay. And, however, it's interesting is the Gra held greatly of the Ramchal, as is well known. He would have traveled to learn by him. There's all different types of famous statements. Not what the Gra said about the Ramchal, and he didn't. I don't believe he was aware that the Ramchal was claiming that he had Magid. And it'll be interesting to know what he would have said about the Ramchal and the Magid, because Ramchal he held of unbelievable. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, so maybe by him he would have agreed to what the Ramchal is saying, because Ramchal said that I am having a maggid and the maggid is good. Okay. Now, Now, the most famous maggid is the maggid of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael had this maggid. Now, I mentioned already last time that there was a whole controversy, few points to this discussion. Almost everyone, I believe, agrees gone that the Magid, the Beis Yosef had a Magid. That's the Shulchan. Question is the Sefer Magid Misharim, if that is authentic to attribute the authorship to the Beis Yosef or not. That's the question. Now, I mentioned already in the last class that the Maskilim, and there's incredible amounts of literature on the topic, if he did it, didn't, proofs, one way or the other, I'm not going to go into all the details, I just said is as follows, that today, most academics, besides the Gedolim, and besides the Aris, even academics, almost every one of them agrees that the Beis Yosef had a Magid, and not only that, that the Magid Misharim is authentic and was written by the Beis Yosef. Very important point. One of the chief people involved in researching the Magid spent a crazy amount of time on it and wrote a very thorough book on the topic was Zvi Roglowski. It's called Joseph Cairo, Lawyer and Mystic. About 10-15 years ago it was translated into Hebrew. This is the book on the Magid. Now, there are important additions to the topic of the Magid HaMisharim in the Sefer Yosef Bechiri from Meir Ben Eyal. And he also proves beyond the shadow of a doubt that the Magid HaMisharim that we have today is from the Beis Yosef. Okay. Now, I mentioned then that there's a famous person, at least famous in certain aspects, most notably for his work on Hilchos Avelos, that is Rabbi Kasiel Greenwald, and he wrote numerous historical works. Almost all of them are very hard to get today, except thanks again through the various search engines such as Hebrew Books and Daitzer Chachma. They all have all of Islam, or almost all of Islam, available to get it. Touch of a few buttons on the computer. However, up to pretty much a year or two ago, you could not have gotten. You have to go to libraries, track them down. He wrote a Sefer Kalba and Hilchos Avelos, which was the work on Avelos for over 40 years, I would say. Now, one of the works he wrote, Baruch works, was a work about Beis Yosef. In this work on Beis Yosef, he has a lengthy discussion of the Magid Misharim. He says, it cannot be that the work that they claim that he wrote is from the Beis Yosef. He's not denying that the Beis Yosef had a Magid. He just feels that this work has too many problems with it. One of the problems we're going to see shortly. We already started to see last time. Now the point over here is that, which is like this. He was very bothered because in the times of a little before him, the Maskilim, as I mentioned, they all also jumped on to discuss the topic of Beis Yosef and a Magid. And one of them, most notable historians of the time, was a guy named Heinrich Gretz. Gretz said, of course, and he said, he's not normal, look at this work. And you're going to rely on his Shulchan Aruch. So that was one of the motives, so to speak, why he did not even want to rely on, why Greenwald was so, look what you're causing by endorsing such a work. You're making a joke out of us. Because one of the most important Jewish works is the Shulchan Aruch. After telling you that the author of the work wrote such a weird work, known as the Magid Misharim, takes away from it. And that is exactly what happened. Maskilim had a field day with this work, and they said, you want me to take it seriously? Come on, you gotta be kidding me. Okay, now, I mentioned already that, last time I think, that the Shlah, the Shlah, there's a series of letters that he wrote after he got to Eretz Yisrael. And he talks about, he writes, you know, one day in Eretz Yisrael, when I was in Eretz Yisrael in Tzlas, they let me, they mechaben me to, at that time, even in the times of the Shlah, which is already a good many years, and maybe exact number, say I would say over 75 years after the Magid, 75 years after the Beis Yosef died already, something like that, that the Sefer was still not printed, and they told him, but it was already known that there's such a, that he had a Magid. Sounds like he already knew about the Sefer Magid Misharim. And he said, in Tzfas, they let me to be matic, to write it down, called Divrei HaMagid Shegel HaRav Beis Yosef. Yesh Bekamas Sistri Torah Soidus Kedoilus. Write it all down. V'yeshbem kamum musarim. Now, he writes about it, and this is very, I think it's a little interesting for what we'll be discussing. V'yeshbem kamum musarim, v'kama anhagus, v'kama prisha, she'ezer oisei loiseichel, zeh, v'zeh loiseichel. V'zira al kam machalos antares, kemoi al machalos esares. It has a lot of different musar points and different anhagus actions that you should find yourself as precious, that you should eat and not eat. And on certain things that really are mutter feed, he's saying that you should not eat. And we're going to be discussing one such example, I think, shortly. Now, one point that has to be made is that even though they've proven conclusively that the Magen Meshulam that we have is from the Beis Yisrael, as I mentioned, the earlier works is also a bunch of works from David Tamar, and he also proves, based on also other information, that it was written by the Beis Yosef. Now, the problem is, he proves but the work, even that is true, that this work is, it's not the complete Magen Meshulam. It is not a complete transcript of all the dreams that he, all the discussions that he had with the Maggid. Chidah writes it's maybe 1/50th of what it was, but whatever it is, it's for sure not the whole thing. And what we have printed today, if you go to the store and buy one, even that is not complete. We have some manuscript pieces that have been discovered also recently. Just to mention one, in this one page, last time I mentioned that someone that deals at length also with the Magen Meshulam is someone by the name of Yehuda Klierz. Now, Yehuda Klierz has a series of articles in the journal Tzvi Notes, which used to come out in based from Bnei Brak. Very nice journal, very, very nice journal. It's come out, all also available today on Hebrew Books and on Yitzhak Chachma. And yes, it got a little famous recently because the version on Yitzhak Chachma was discovered that it censored out a piece related to the whole controversy between Yaakov Hillel and Yosef Avivi. So it got a little famous. The complete 19 volumes, I think it is on Hebrew Books, unedited. The edited version is on Yitzhak Chachma. The difference is about 2 pages. Now, in this journal, there was a series of 3 articles from this Yehuda Klierz, where he deals with the Maggid of Beis Yosef. And in there, he brings a piece from a manuscript. And interesting, one of the pieces from the manuscript he brings is a famous question, which I dealt with about last year on Hanukkah, which was about a famous question that many ask, is why is there no Mishnayos devoted to Hanukkah? And the earliest person who asked this question, the Maggid of the Beis Yosef, or the Beis Yosef in the Magen Meshulam. This is a piece that we don't have in our printed versions of the Magen Meshulam. It's only in that piece mentioned in the Tzvi Notes. Anyways, but now moving on with the Magen Meshulam is as follows. I mentioned already last time that the Sefer is brought down numerous times in Halacha. The Magen Avraham brings it down many times. The Makar Chayim, which is from the Chavetz Yar, he also brings it down many times. And Rabbi Klierz, in his articles in Tzvi Notes, he goes through many different pieces of systematically in order, showing this piece is brought down here, this piece is brought down here, and he gives a whole list of where everything, each piece, well, not all the pieces, but a lot of the pieces are brought down, discussed by the Pesukim. We're going to see that plays, it's going to play a significant role in part of our discussion tonight. Now, from the Shlah that I mentioned earlier, the Shlah says that it sounds like that this Sefer, it's not clear what type of Sefer this is. Is this Sefer for the masses or not? And you say, the things that we find in this Sefer doesn't mean that everyone has to listen to it or not. Why does it say that? Because he says, the Shlah writes, one of the things he told us on Kam Machalos Mutarois, Kemaya Machalos Asuris, that just for whatever reason, you have to be machmir not to eat it. Now, so it would appear as the Shla is saying that it's not necessarily for everyone, because Machalos Mitaris we're talking about. The mind of the Chayes is said not to eat these things. Okay, now, but on the other hand, I mentioned that the Magen Avraham, you know, classic work on Aruch Chaim, classic Pesach, does not say that this is, I'm telling you, on Haggis, Bal Nefesh Yachmer, you know, in Mishnah Berurah a lot, you find similar terminology of something to the effect of Bal Nefesh Yachmer, you know, he doesn't say that. He brings down, Magen Beis Yosef says this, Magen Beis Yosef says to do this. He doesn't say, oh, you want to be Machmer on extra Chumrah, do this. So it would sound like from the Magen Avraham and the other Paiskim that it is a Yanhaga that he meant that the concepts brought down, the Magen Meisharim of Halacha, were meant for the masses. Now obviously there's a question which I hope that we'll be able to get through at the end of the class, which is that there's a concept called Torah Lav Min HaShamayim. Torah Lav Min HaShamayim means that Hashem Yisbarach gave the Torah to us down here to deal with, and not to... No, let's say you have a guy says, I have Ruach HaKadosh, and we know he's a Chashav guy. He says, Ruach HaKadosh told me that you have to do this. In general, there's a rule, Torah, Lav, and Shanayim, and don't listen to him. We have the rules, how to pass in the Shaila, the sources, the Gedolim, who we rely on, the mythology, or how to reach a conclusion in Halacha, and that's how we come to conclusion. Halacha, we don't rely on Ruach HaKadosh, on Nevuah, as a matter of fact, he could kill for such a thing if he claims such a thing. We don't rely on Eliyahu Navi for Halacha L'maisa, according to the simple. We don't rely on the people coming with Magidim, according to this. So now, what is going on over here? The Magen Avraham is just bringing into his regular work, and he's telling us here, do this, because the Magen Meisharim said it. So we hope to get up to that in the discussion today. But before I get there, let's turn to the source sheet on the screen on the computer. I bring down as follows. The Magen Meisharim is talking in Parashas Nitzav. And the discussion over there is about Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, it says in Shulchan Aruch that we eat. There's a whole question in Rosh Hashanah if you're supposed to have a fancy Suda, you're supposed to eat a lot or not. Why wouldn't you? Because it's the day of Din. The day of Din, one should be nervous. If one should be nervous, one shouldn't be eating a lot. And the whole discussion in the Paiskim. L'maisa, we come out that we do. We eat. Now, and as a matter of fact, that is the Shita of the, I think even the Mechaber brings this down, that's what written by Rabbi Yosef Kairo and Shulchan Aruch. However, the Magen Meisharim says as follows, "Kol makom ibay b'loy l'meichel b'loy b'sri, one should not eat meat, b'loy l'mishti chamri, and not drink wine. If the Shavaf, b'shar oichlu n'mashkin l'mezer b'y, b'af agav dam re'ezra, but there's a problem, it says in Ezra, Echlu Meshmanim, it says you should eat Shmanim. And Shmanim, we can interpret, at least according to some, it's some form of fatty foods. Meat. So, how could you, so before we get any further, basically, the Beis Yosef's Magid was saying, don't eat meat, don't drink wine. Question, what are you talking about? It says it's an open pasuk in the chep in Ezra. Ezra says, Achul mashmanim. Should eat. So before I go any further, what do you mean? You think the Maggid forgot a pasuk? No, the Maggid says, no, I didn't forget a pasuk. And he says, you want to understand how you learn up that pasuk? It's that pasuk is talking about for the masses. I'm talking to you. Esud mashmanim, and another answer is, mashmanim hayushem v'chem v'chalof, that it means for fatty foods, it means milk. Like basar, certainly not meat. Now, so right away, before we get anywhere, the Magen Avraham and the Mekar Chaim from the Chavos Yair, two great places, can bring down this Maggid. Everyone should do it. Now, obviously, they are... Obviously, they're not going with the first teretz that the Maggid says that it's from Yichidei Sgula. they are learning, I guess, that mashmat, like the second teretz, which is that it's for the masses. And don't be bothered by a pasuk, because that pasuk is talking about, it's not talking about fatty meats, it means cheese, that you should eat. But not meat. Meat is on a much higher level, it's a much higher level of simcha. And most men could testify to that, that meat is much more real. A real meal is meat, not a cheese. You come in and say you had steak, that's something. You come in and you say you had a pizza even. It's not the same. You come in and you say you had drinks, but you could have had the best type of drinks out there. Not wine, it's not the same. And that's what the... And it sounds like that that's what the Magen Meisharim is telling the Beis Yosef. I bring down over here on the third passage is a sugya in Chulin, a Mishnah and a Gemara. And this question, which I'm about to ask, is asked by the Lajner, as we'll see, Rabbi Yehuda Assad, and others point out that the Mishnah in Chulin says, Arba Prakim Hashana is an Indian of shechting and eating meat. When are they? Erev Yom Tov Achad Shachar. And the Mefarshim over there specifically explain because there's a chiyuv to eat meat. And there's an endless list of Rishonim that say, on Rosh Hashanah there's a chiyuv to eat meat. End of story. Now, they all have very strong backing. They have this pasuk of Chul Mashmanim. But the Magid has this interpretation of it. Here we have a question. There's an open Mishnah. The Beis Yosef, now, just to give a little insight before we go get more insight, Beis Yosef was very into learning Mishnahis, and the Magid came to him when he, it's clear from certain passages in the Magid, especially when he learned Mishnahis. Why, that's beyond the scope of tonight's class, but what is clear is that strange, he forgot to open Mishnah. It's a Sugya in Chulin. The Mishnah in Chulin says this, and it's not a. There's no one that has a different interpretation of it, and it's clear from over there that one is supposed to eat meat on Rosh Hashanah. So, and this question is Rav Chaim Velazhner and others ask on the basis. Now, one answer, again, is that it's true, is that he didn't forget the Mishnah. And that will be according to the first answer. The first answer of the first point in Magen Meisharim is that the Magen Meisharim is the Yechidei Sgula. Now, I mentioned earlier that the Shla, it sounds like from the Shla, that the whole Sefer Magen Meisharim is saying different on Haggas Tavis. And it says on Machal, and his Lashon I quoted was, on Machalos Mutaris to my Machalos Asuris. What does that mean? It means is that really you could be able to. Is it Asur to eat Rosh Hashanah? No, and the Beis Yosef knows that. Thus, on a special level, for people on a high level, we don't want them to. Now, that will be one answer. But the problem is that. That's one possibility. That the Sefer Magen Meisharim, don't bring me rice. What shot that the Magen Avram, the Paisig on Arachayim, and the Arachayim bring it down? I don't know. They should have actually spelled it out, and it's really on Haggah for, not for the masses at all. And in all actuality, the Rabdal, when he deals with this discussion, he has a discussion about the Magid, and when you see he's the source for this Rechaim Velazhner who asked the question, he said that's the real answer. That the Beis Yosef, at least the Sefer Beis Yosef, was not written for the masses. Now, let us, before we get to the an understanding of a Magid in general, and Rav Chaim Velazhner, and we'll see many others, their interpretation of this topic, let us just move on for a minute to something else. So similar, this is again remaining with the topic of the Magid. We know there's a we know once a month we make a bracha. Kaddish l'olvana. So, there's all types of discussions about when one is supposed to make Kaddish l'olvana. Is one supposed to make Kaddish l'olvana right away? Immediately. Some people say you have to wait 3 days, other people say you have to wait 7 days, other people say you have to wait Matzah Shabbos, all different, and you know, every time, you know, right after, right in the beginning, ask if people right away, how many, right when they first Matzah Shabbos, they're like, is it 3 days already? Or, no, it's not 3 days, when was Rosh Chodesh again, this, and, no, it's too early, and the Hasidim, they wait late, and it's a whole, as you would say, in, as you say in Israel, a big balagan, a balagan shalem about this. Okay. Now, that's not here to the discuss the whole thing. Now, there is a mechaber. The mechaber says in Simon Tuf Vav, Ein Mevarchan Al Reach Elo B'Matzah Shabbos. Why? Kishu Mevarchan B'God of Non. You dress nicely. Fine. Now, Mishnah Berurah brings down, L'mitzvah Min HaMukha. It's L'mitzvah Min HaMukha. Not that you have to do it then. It's L'mitzvah Min HaMukha. Now, then he brings down, and this is as far as it was defined now, but it could, it's not necessarily an accurate search, based on Bar-Ilan, that this is one of the times the Mishnah Berurah brings the Magen Mishar. Because, as I say, for Magen Mishar, Simen Zeh Yiba Yodecha B'Chodesh Etevarchu Baruch Avonu B'Matzah Shabbos, Timta Tzlacha. That it's great to do it on Matzah Shabbos. That is what the Magen Mishar says. Now, and the this Magen Mishar is in Shira when he in the Megillah of Shira Shirim, and he has a lot of pieces about Kiddush Havana, about 7 days, 3 days, and the whole thing in Kabbalah when you're supposed to do it. Okay. Now, one of the is a sefer, Nimuki Archai. This sefer is written by the famous Munkacher Rebbe. He has a whole discussion about this mechaber, which says on Matzah Shabbos one is supposed to do it, and he brings down from Chaim Vital about that one is supposed to do it on Matzah Shabbos. Then Chaim Vital, right? Based on this, I was very bothered. I had heard that there was a certain Rav that said not to do it on Matzah Shabbos. He likes to do it right away. Okay. And I said, I'm not getting into all the aspects of it. After this, he brings down the Magen Avraham, B'Shem, the Magen Beis Yosef, and that's the source of the Mishnah Berurah. Now, and then he says, what happens if you can't do it? All different things. He says that all the things of the Beis Yosef Magen Rak la beis yisu levanim. Loi lekol ayim levanim. Fi shevish nishmasay. Magid azen esava belibim mishinasay. Mishnasay. Since beis yisu mishnah is brought this magid, and it's only for the magid. Al kain al tespal mikalad var manurim tmum plin leinir kari betzedek. Don't be bothered by things that you find that are pleidic or strange in the whole sefer. Kim jenem lelum ram beis yisu lo levadik. Aval achirim enish simen amechich. It's not. He goes even further and says that the Arizal says in a specific place, the like of my Shema Magid of Beis Yosef. What's going on? The Magid, this is the Shemayim of Magid, came down and told to the Beis Yosef a certain thing, and Arizal just saying, oh, don't worry about it. No, that Zeh Shema Magid Beis Yosef Rakhli Yachid L'Shaitin Nemek Nisko El V'Amevin Yachid. It's just for the Magid and it's not for the masses. But now it has to show him that the Arizal is saying that, I don't care about a Magid. No, the Magid is not for the masses. This is what the Nemuki Archaim, the Munkacher, says. So now, if we have a statement, that the statement is against a Mishnah, not a problem, it's against a Mishnah. Because, in a Chassidi, we find many things, perfect, Shoshana especially, is a time period that great people based already on Yerushalmi in the beginning of Shabbos that take upon themselves to do chumras, they go all out extra. So, one of the things would be not to eat meat. really, the regular Jew should eat meat. But not to you, you, Beis Yosef, you're a special Jew, and you should not be eating meat. Okay. Now, hold on just one second. And this is what that's the approach of the Munkacher in this whole thing. However, Rukhaim Valojna, and I bring down the pretty much most quote here. This is an exact sentence from Rukhaim Valojna. And first time I saw it, very taken aback, shocking, but I would not be able to say it. But Rukhaim Valojna, Talmud Mavik of the Vilna Gaon says the following, and as I'm going to show, it's not only it's accepted in all people who know about the Maggid, not myself, but people that firsthand hold information, great Mekubalim agree with this, as we'll see. Vadai me'arav beis Yosef ha'yashitcha ba'isa rega mishnahi, he forgot it. Ayihayi lo beizi rifi mechazara vayim ba'hi, didn't lack mechazara. They came la'hiru kut mishazug ala Maggid ba'isa shah. He simply forgot. So now, according to that, the means is as follows, that the Beis Yosef's Maggid is as only as powerful as the Beis Yosef. Since the Beis Yosef forgot this Sugyon of Kulin, this whole piece goes out the window, even though the Maggid of Ram is bringing it down, not important for us to do. It's an incorrect thing to do. All this whole Torah of Shem and Chema of Echelef, if you would have remembered at that time the Sugyon Chulin, you wouldn't have said this because it's against the Sugyon Chulin. And this whole answer of Yechidei Skula is not a good answer. Now, it could very well be that I'm not so sure that the answer of Yechidei Skula is the incorrect answer. But what is important for me today that I'm trying to point out is I want to also reach a drop of understanding about the Maggid. That we see from Chaim Valojna. Forget about the sugya, so to speak, but this specific sugya. Because this specific sugya, we could say, oh, Yechidei Skula, and we have the whole thing with the Munkacher Rebbe also saying it. General on the Sefer, what Chaim Valojna is saying is an understanding in the Maggid. The Maggid is only as big as the Beis Yosef. That means is if the Beis Yosef specifically forgot something, the Maggid's going to forget something. It's not that. The Maggid says something, it can't be, and you have to go with it and everything. Not at all. This is from the Beis Midrash of the Arizal, Talmidim, start with as follows. Rabbi Yaakov Tzemach, he had a manuscript of the Maggid, and in the Agadama he writes as follows. Now this statement from Rabbi Yaakov Tzemach is printed by Meir Ben Yo, I mentioned earlier, his work on the Beis Yosef, where he has a whole chapter with very, very important information on the topic of the Maggid. He writes as follows. Yesh magidim amitam legami. There are magidim that are completely true. Ve'eman asim na tayru min amitzis and asim b'shleimus mitzis that are done completely and tayru completely. Yesh magidim mishkam b'miktsas a little bit. Ki'av apishu nasim tzarek tusha kin to kedusha. Kol zeh adam garma yom zveizu chinara. Aita v'shaka v'oisa tayru and mitzis sh'asa oisa malach. I'm never meant to be a mixture. Atayu shabar amadir miyamitz v'rasha v'yam adir v'shaka and can have some contradictory things. So therefore, sometimes it's going to happen, a Maggid will not be... Basically, again, a Maggid is only as big as the person at that time it's in. And if that person, for some reason, forgot those lack of chazar, as Rukhaim Golovner said. He simply forgot the Mishnah. Now, the truth is, I don't bring down all the quotes over here, but Rukhaim Vital also says, now, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in his Sefer Tachas Farm, brings down the Kvarid Arizal, from the Arizal, Shafil Magidim Akadeshim, and Yikim Mitoos, Ksiv Malacha, Yosim Tehila, Vein Mashkikim Af Vasko, Lushon, Safil Kutsus Shayud, Parisha, Sav, Vishal, Baal Tech. And, again, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in the Sefer Tarius Kanois, in his section which he's devoting to discussing about the base, the Ramchal's Magid, he writes, he also talks about the Maggid of the Beis Yosef, and he says, Ava Moiri Achasadzal, that is the Chacham Tzvi, one of the Gedolei Achorinim, says, Arav Beis Yosef HaYalamdin Yosef Galun Maggid Shaloi. He was a bigger Lamdin than his Maggid. Meaning to say, in a specific case, let's say over here, if we find that the Magid forgot a sugya, that means the Beis Yosef forgot a sugya, you cannot say that the Beis Yosef, it's a Magid and the Magid did not forget. Okay, so we are seeing a very interesting insight in what a Magid is, that it's only as great as the person it's in. Okay. Now, one second. So, hang on, just sorry. Pausing for one second. Okay. Now, another point that I like to take out from over here is, I would not to go out of my way to point it out, except for the following reason. The Sefer Magid Meisharim, as I mentioned, was printed numerous times, most recently about a year or two ago. An edition was printed where the person who printed it had some very nice additions to all the earlier editions of the Sefer. That is, that the Sefer is written in Aramaic. Why it's written in Aramaic is a different discussion, but he has side by side a translation of the Hebrew and the Aramaic. So, hello, is it working now? Is the mic working? Testing, testing. Are you able to hear me? Okay. Now, so this Sefer Magid Meisharim, which is printed about 2 years ago by someone, Yosef HaKayim, and so he did a very nice job. He breaks up a lot of the pieces, and he translates the each Aramaic, the whole piece, side by side, into Hebrew. Okay. And he has footnotes, so you would assume that the footnotes are going to be very, very good, or have a lot of very important information, because, as I mentioned already earlier, that this Sefer has a wealth of information. Later, forget about Kabbalah, I'm talking in halachic aspects. But that is not the case. There is a lot of information in the footnotes, but not nearly as much as one would expect and hope for. But it still is a great use for the Sefer because of the translation of the Aramaic text into plain Hebrew. So on our piece, he brings down this whole thing of this whole Rechaim V'Lozhin. Now, where is this Rechaim V'Lozhin piece? This Rechaim V'Lozhin piece is brought down by the Radal. The Radal wrote a sefer called Kadmas HaZayir. As is well known, the Zayir was attacked from many, the keyboard, the work of Sefer HaZayir was attacked by many different people throughout the ages, even from people that it's not an authentic forgery. It's a late text, it's nothing to do with Rav Shem Bar Yochai. One of the famous defenses for this sefer was a work written by the great Gadol Rav David Luria called Kadmas HaZayir. Kadmas Sefer HaZayir. Now this sefer recently also reprinted, again available on Hebrew Books, and he has a discussion, middle of the discussion of the Zayir, he talks about the Magid of Beis Yosef, and he has a whole section about he brings in this whole Magid of this whole story with Rechaim V'Lozhin. We have to understand Rav David Luria was unbelievable governor of his time. All accounts, he was just one incredible person. If one wants to read about him, there's in the introduction to a lot of editions of the Radal, his nephew, I believe it is, wrote up about him. Very interesting stuff, and it's very authentic. It's not considered at all, I mean, by people that know of him from that period of time. He's just considered one very special achra. He knew everything. And everything in regular Torah, halacha, bala. He was an expert in the Gra, especially in the Gra. He's considered a continuation of the Beis Medrash of the Gra. And basically, he's considered very reliable when it comes to statements from Rechaim V'Lozhin and the Gra in the Lefresh circle. Now, he brings down this whole story from Rechaim V'Lozhin, and this answer from Rechaim V'Lozhin, and this thing that I found shocking if I just tell you Rechaim V'Lozhin, but I'm mentioning to you already, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the Chacham Tzvi, Rabbi Yaakov Tzemach, and I'm telling you Rechaim Vital also says it, and Rav Moshe Kurdevar also says it, and others say it. This is a basic understanding of a mat. Comes along this Yosef Kohen and he says, after he brings this down, and first he writes, Shmua Sheshama Shmua B'Shem Rabbanan, like, you know, as if it's a rumor that he heard, you know, we're talking about Rabbanan Yitau, who in the Litvish circles was known every single thing that he said over from the Gron, Rabbanan Balajan was authentic, and he checked into it. In the Sefer Aliyas Elio, which is one of the works about the Vilna Gaon, has comments from all the Gedolim of the, in that period of time, he has his comments from Radal, and he's famous for being an expert in having authentic things. He has authentic the Mesira from the Gra and his Talmidim. Now, and he's calling it Shmua Shama. Well, of course, this is unfortunate, but this person's a Sfarli, so it's a completely different base message. But then he writes, V'acharam Achilas V'derasai, Z'mahani Yad Ma'idah, very bothered. Kate Zeresh Shalema, L'bein HaGadol Beis Yosef, Shakal HaTalmud HaMishnayis, Nihir V'shkur Netzlam Aviv Yon Yon Shosho, Shenishkacha Mimenu Mishnah Zu L'regel, he forgot a Mishnah for a minute, L'eizir Rifyan B'mishnah, where he had a Rifyan and Chazara, and the Maggid is going to make a mistake in a pasuk, which a Maggid hits Rabbeinu by Loch of Shuta Kolkach. The Ragam Rabbeinu hits this Asmim Kosas appears on the Sefer Lattes Rabbim, and he's writing down Lattes Rabbim, Atama, Bechal Tamuli, Marian Radal. It goes on and on. He says, that's why I like the answer of the first answer, and I do not like at all this Rukhain Veloshna. Now, fact number one. The Beis Yosef never wrote the Sefer for the masses. So it's not being hit to everyone else, first of all. And as far as this thing that he's saying, that how could he say that the Beis Yosef, the Maggid, forgot? Doesn't know basic understanding of a Maggid. Reb Chaim Volozhiner is not being mechadish anything over here. It is Reb Yaakov Tzemach, it's earlier Reb Chaim Vital, it's now Reb Chaim Vital, it's from Moshe Kardavaro, it's Reb Yaakov Venden, it's the Chacham Tzvi. What more do you need? The people that could say such things. But Shmua Shama, the Radal, who also was big enough to say such a thing, made up a thing. No, not at all. It's a concept. Again, I don't know it, and he didn't know it, but this is the concept. And don't right away write the zilzal about it's a fact. But the other problem is that he writes, if he couldn't have forgotten something, this leads me to a discussion of as follows. In the journal Yeshurin, they bring the one of the issues that were devoted to Rav Shlaima Zalman. They bring down a whole story where Rav Shlaima Zalman said the whole story with Rav Meir Simcha the Arsameh. One time, I think it had to do with when the Meir Simcha was going to get married, so the future father-in-law wanted to test him. And he started talking to him about a specific Rambam, and the Rambam was a Chachmei Lamil, where they asked the Rambam, where is a certain halacha, and he couldn't find it, and so he wanted to test Dar Sameach, how big of a person is Dar Sameach. So he said, please tell me, which Rambam was it that the Rambam did not know, and he forgot? So, of course, Meir, as big as he was, told him exactly which one it was, and fine. Yeah. This is the story that Rav Shlaima Zalman Orbach said that he heard about Dar Sameach. Now, one small bibliographical fact that's incorrect about the story is, if the story happened to Dar Sameach, I have no idea, but it wasn't what the truth is with the Chachmei Lanil. It wasn't that the Chachmei Lanil wrote to the Rambam. The Rambam says he does not remember. It was with Ayin, who was a Talmud of the Rambam. And the story was as follows. Simchas Adayin went to the Rambam and said, Rabbi, please tell me where is the following Rambam that you said. Now, let's just backtrack for 1 second. The Rambam wrote his work. Rambam's work is actually one of the was many problems safer. I don't mean that I have problems with safer. I mean, at that time, there were people that, great people that had big problems with safer. One of the problems that people have with safer is he did not write sources.
Okay.
Now, here will be a perfect instance why it's a very big problem that he forgot what the problem, not having sources. Talmud comes to him and says, Rambam, Rebbe, please tell me, where is the source for this halacha? Talmud says, it should be right over there in the sugya that it's talking about. Let's say it was Hilchos Shabbos. So, open up the parak to talk about that topic. I looked at it, it's not there. Rambam goes, let me check, and it's not there. Now, we have this in the letters of the best edition out there of the letters of the Rambam was printed by, most accurate, was printed by Yitzhak Shilach. Volume 2, page 444. This is in the correspondence of Pinchas dying with the Rambam. And he writes as follows. And he says, and he asked him the whole thing. And now this whole thing was where, says over here, was not, it was, this is corresponding with the story that Rosh Hashanah written down. It was that he forgot, he asked him, where is a certain halacha? In Hilchos Ritzeach, Musaif and Azikin. The Hirali Halacha Akas Amali Kroiza Karati Yisrael. I'm not if he must suffer Gishmiz Amali. There is a Makam Nemeth Var Melu. Pinchas Hadayin asked him, where is it? Amati Lois. The Rambam says, I told him, Kaiman Abele Hina Gaisen. Either in the Perak Eila Hina Gaisen or Bissan Hedge, but in Ritzeach. Amali Kvar Chazarti Akal. I looked everywhere. The Lord Matzati. Amati Rishami Yushalmi. It's in Yushalmi. Because the Rambam, as is known, used the Yushalmi. Opposed to other people. I'm a libe kashdi v'loy matzasi. I looked and I couldn't find it. Libe yishalmi v'loy b'tei sefta. Shtem tim l'yishal. Rambam says, I whatever. I feel like, in his dorkash, I'm not complaining to get them to start with Rambam. I remember, ha'itzati get them to keep answering the matzati. Tamati v'no alti v'ati. Hei chenem l'dvar meilu. Hini ata at sheskem l'karmi. Hini yosav an izachar tishlach tishlich. Hei zati yoreti l'dvar m'parshan gemara. Yivam yis aga grora. Remember that that's what it is. And the Rambam goes on. He writes, And he talks about, and he goes on about this interesting letter. Check it up yourself. Now. Okay, and now, Ram doesn't write all the points, which, what exact sugi is he talking about? So, we have Matisseo Strashen already in his notes, printed in the back of the Sefer Nesivas, in the Brisa, the Nesivas Olam, which is a parish from Rabbi Katzin Ellenbogen, on the Brisa Lambe's Edis of Rebelezer. So there's notes from Ramatisero Strash in the back, and he has all discussion. Which exact sugya was it, the Rambam? Because here it's the Rambam doesn't say exactly which sugya, which halacha, and what it was going on. And with Magolus also, and some people say, oh, here's a proof of a case of a plagiarism with Magolus, who took a lot from Ramatisero Strash. Okay, that's not for now. Be that as it may, what's clear is that Rambam forgot. He didn't remember. Yeah. How could, so this person, Rabbi Yosef HaKohen, footnoter of the new Magen Yesharim, he has a whole big problem. How could the chutzpah of Chaim Elozhner, the chutzpah of the Hadal for bringing it down, the chutzpah to say that the Beis Yosef at Rifim Chazor forgot something, he has a Mishnah Yisrael, and no one's taking that away from the Beis Yosef, of course. But if on the Rambam, on the Rambam's own work, the Rambam who is much bigger than the Beis Yosef, in our world, at least we consider this as a fact. He forgot a thing that he himself wrote. I come into Yeshiva. Remember, I once was said he heard up. It's a story that the Rambam forgot. It's baloney. I said, what baloney? It's in the. I showed him the thing. He couldn't believe it. I showed him this letter, the letter of the Rambam. It's of Shilas, 100%. We have the manuscripts in most things. Clear. The Rambam says he forgot. So the Rambam can forget something in his own writings. So the Beis Yosef can forget. It's not a problem for people. It doesn't take away from them. They're just much greater than us, and by far, in any stretch of the imagination, will never come to them. But they forget. So the same thing over here. The Beis Yosef forgot, and this was not a problem. These people didn't have a problem. Yosef Kain today, you tell me you guys are kind of saying, I'm sure you get up and say, I first saw Shachan Velozhin, I was like, this is Kira, possibly. I saw Rav Shraya Dablitsky in the Skama of the 1990 edition of the Magen Mishnah, right in the front. He has a 3-page Skama. And he talks about the Magen and he says, by the way, he brings them into the Torah Sadrach. He also is well aware of the Sephardi world of Kabbalah, but he's very into the Gra Kabbalah. He brings down the Shulchan Velozhin and the Sradal, and he goes even further with it, and he says, you see, he has a whole Musar Shmuz based on it, but necessarily is accepted. It's simple. People, a lot of times, certain things that you're not familiar with, when you hear it, it's shocking. But once you look into it, you see that it's not shocking. So anyway, my point is that the footnoter, let's put the go on, out on Rav Chaim Volozhiner and Shmuel Shishabak on the Rambam himself also forgot things, and it didn't take away ki who's there from the Rambam. We all know that the Rambam was tremendous. Now, interesting. Two last points. There's a whole discussion. I'm not going to go into it at length, but Now, first of all, there's a different case where Rambam. It's unclear where is the sugya of the for Rambam. And the Rambam's son, Rabbi Rambam, says the Epshen is Shemestal Zeh Makom Menu BeEishachit Shekasav. He forgot. The Rambam could forget, and Rabbi Rambam didn't have a problem, and he didn't think he's saying anything bad about his father. So now to say that on the basis, Yosef from Chaim Volozhiner saying it, it's not the end of the world either. It's not taking away ki who Zeh from the galus of the basis Yosef and the galus of the Rambam. Okay, now that is point number one. Another point. There were cases that Gedolim, such as in the Rambam, that he forgot the source, and in the end, he changed his mind. Then other Gedolim came around, they said, oh, you meant that thing. And it's clear that was the original Havamin of the Rambam. So they say that it's possible to even pass from like the first Eifen of the Rambam. What's Pshat? So it's a whole long discussion, but I'm just going to bring down short. A different Chaim Volozhiner that the Netziv heard from Chaim Volozhiner. Even if they were not mechaven, that since Merucha Kodesh they were written, possible to say things in them that they, even when they changed their mind, that they had a special siyata shmaya when they wrote it, and even though they forgot the source, and the guy says to them, "Where is the source?" and didn't remember, and he changes his mind. There's a whole discussion what it means exactly. Okay, we're not going to go into it. I just want to end off with one last thing, just to complete this. I mentioned earlier the concept of that it's Torah Lav Neshamayim. So how do we understand? First of all, that the Magen Avraham, who's bringing down the Beis Yosef Halacha many places in Archaim and Archaim and other Svarim, they hold that there's no problem of Torah Lav Neshamayim. But what's the answer? Why isn't it a problem of Torah Lav Neshamayim? Again, we're out of time. Rebecca Bemden. In the discussion in Teres HaKanois, where he deals with the Magad of Esesif and the Magad of Ramchal, he talks about this and he says that when it's coming to talk about halacha, it is a problem. He says it is a problem to. If he's saying hello. Hang on 1 second. Now, Rabbi Yosef Schlesinger in a Sefer, Beis Yosef HaKadosh, extremely controversial Sefer, again, not for now, he talks about, he has a whole lengthy discussion about Torah Neshamayim and the Magad of Beis Yosef and the Ruach HaKadosh and passing like Elio and Charles and Jewish Neshamayim, the famous work that was, that the Rishon used to write his questions before he went to sleep, and he got answers. If all these Svarim are good halacha, can we rely on them? He has a whole lengthy discussion, not for now, but at one point he says about the Magid, he talks about actually a case that the Magid told him that this following meat is trefa. He says, that's not a problem of Leib HaShemayim, because it's only a chesaron of yedia, and Yidabim Milsa Ba'alma. The Magid's just telling him it happens to be the Metzius, you should just know that it's a treif. So it's not Torah Lav Neshamayim. That's on that, but what about us? So now, truth is that I'll end with his thoughts. The Sefer Magen Mesharim, we do not find it mentioned in Beis Yosef's form. Now that's very interesting, because Beis Yosef is perhaps, according to Yaakov, Professor Yaakov Katzen, and then Rishon Chalamish, they're responsible for bringing in Kabbalah. He's one of the first big Paiskim that brought in Kabbalah, at least a lot. Maybe not as much as he could have in his halachic work, but not all the time. Now, what's interesting is that he doesn't bring anything from the Magen. Now, Professor Kashmir, in his book on the Zohar and Kabbalah, he discusses that he says that the only reason why he did bring in the pieces that he did was because of the Maggid. The Maggid influenced him to bring in Kabbalah, but he didn't bring in Pesachim from the Maggid. For example, now, sorry, and it's interesting is that there's a letter from Mark Shapiro printed from the Sri Deish, where the Sri Deish asked someone, is there a work that deals with dealing with the Beis Yosef in Magen Meisharim and Shulchan Aruch to compare the two? Because it's known that he does not, in his Sefer, go with all the Sukkim that he says that the Maggid of Meisharim, or whatever the Maggid is, told him. But now, what's very interesting is because the Magen Avraham went ahead and brought them in. Now, according to the Munkacher that we brought, and a possible Teretz in the Magen Meisharim's language, at least in the case of Basar, the Sefer Magen Meisharim, different for Yisroel. But the question is it or is it not? So it sounds like, so the Beis Yosef HaChadosh, that's what Akiva Schlesinger writes, that he doesn't bring down in his Sefer the Magen Meisharim. And the reason is, he didn't bring down things from there. Because specifically, because of Terulah Meshamayimi, that's why he does not mention it in his Sefer. Very interesting point, and that is what I'd like to conclude with, and that is some of the points, many points that we could discuss on the topic of the Maggid of Yosef. I'd like to thank you for coming today, and for all those people that were here in the past. Also, thank you for coming to the past lectures. Thank you very much for joining me. Any questions you could send in, you could email me at rut@gmail.com. And thanks again for joining me for this series of Shira. Thank you.